Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's reflect on a brilliant win for Everton last night. Ronald Koeman with the damaging blow to Arsene Wenger's title hopes. Both on and off the pitch in terms of a blow as well, because afterwards, a little bit of a war of words. The Gunners boss, he had a go at the referee, Mark Clattenburg. He basically said that it was his fault that Arsenal lost the game. Here is Arsene Wenger.
I'm really disappointed because Clattenburg was in a very good position to see that they headed the ball out. And it's not the first time we are unlucky with his decision this season.
Ronald Koeman said he was a sore loser. Let's talk with the former Everton Director of Communications, Alan Myers. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
What do you think? Arsene Wenger a sore loser?
Well, I think you know, as my dad used to say, you know, read the newspapers tomorrow morning, you'll see whether it was a corner or not. And I think that's the case, you know. Things happen in games where, I mean, I don't know, I've not really seen the pictures of the incident, but, you know, the fact is the referee and gave the corner and Arsenal should have defended it better than they did. And great header from Ashley Williams, and I think it was just what Everton deserved, to be honest, in the end.
Well, one thing that can be said, Goodison Park is massively special on a night like that. When the fans truly got into it, it is a place that rocks.
Well, you know, I said it last night, it's the last bastion of football stadium in this country. There's not many places like Goodison Park. And it was interesting, you know, because there's been a lot of talk recently, as you'll know, about the atmosphere there. And I have to say, the first 15 minutes or so, the place was really quiet. And I sat thinking myself, I don't go as much as I should do and as much as I'd like to. But, you know, I was quite, again, taken aback, really, how quiet it was. And then, you know, there was a series of about three or four tackles in the space of about 10 seconds. And you just saw it come to light. It was like someone had switched the button on, you know. And I think, you know, again, you saw the celebration of Seamus Coleman after he equalised. And you know, he was sort of he was getting the fans up. And you think, well, you know, it just takes a little bit of aggression. It takes a little bit of passion. It takes a little bit of commitment. And the fans will respond, and they did last night. You know, absolutely brilliant. The last 5 minutes after the goal was just incredible.
Coleman may be rolling back the ears a little bit with his performance. Look, all the fans want, and all they've been talking about, is show us a bit of commitment, show us some aggression, show us some fight. All those things came to fruition.
They did, and I went to do the interview with the press conference with Ronald Koeman a couple of days before for Sky, and I remember walking away from that thinking, this guy knows what is needed. You know, he was obviously, you know, disappointed with what's happened over the last few games or 10 games. But you just felt that he had, and I think he on purpose tried to steer his players into a performance. And I think, you know, once they realised themselves that they could do this again, you know, I think you saw it come on. You saw great performances by James McCarthy, by Ross Barkley, by Romelu Lukaku. You know, there was one run from Lukaku down the left wing where he just went past his defender, you know, and Everton have it, you know, but it's very, very easy to get into that situation where you just feel as if you're underconfident and you know, and you've got to get out of that. And I think Ronald Koeman's done his job over the last few days getting that out of the system.
Well, you've obviously worked alongside managers, and when managers have been in bad positions and going through, you know, perilous times, Ronald Koeman's never shown anything to suggest it's affected him in recent weeks. Or have you seen anything different when, as you say, you've been interviewing him?
No, I honestly believe that he's one of his real assets is his coolness, and I think you know, the fact that he just takes his time with everything, even under, and he doesn't when they are getting beat, he doesn't come out and just pretend that everything's okay and be over positive. You know, he says it how it is. I think he was quite annoyed after the game at Watford, you know, a lot more than he had been, you know, and I think he's one who will say it when it's wrong, and he will call his players out when he needs to. And I think he's been absolutely fantastic over the last week or so. You know, and even post-match last night, you know, with Arsene Wenger, he wouldn't have it. You know, he wouldn't take that. In fact, I think he mentioned I'm lost with days at the moment. I think he mentioned on Monday, you know, about, or Friday it could have been, about, you know, that sort of I think he's won last three games, has he, at Southampton against Arsene Wenger.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think he's got this little sort of voodoo thing over it, you know. Where, and I think he mentioned that. So I think that was, again, a little bit of psyching out by him. But once we equalised last night, I think you felt there was only one winner in the game, you know, and I don't think we've been able to say that for some time.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
It's the Force with us once again. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, got its premiere last night. David Sanderson's joined me.
Hello.
Have a look through this and some of the other stories. And also, the lucky girl who went to the premiere last night, our entertainment reporter, Natalie Jameson. Morning, Natalie.
Morning.
Where did it take place?
It took place in a bit of an unusual venue. It was at the Tate Modern Art Gallery in London. And it kind of worked for Star Wars because it made it look a bit like an underground bunker, a bit like the Death Star, because it was full of concrete pillars and in this huge turbine hall. So, yeah, it was very apt.
The Tate Modern. So it's, it wasn't even a cinema.
No, I know. There were various screenings taking place across other cinemas in London, such as the huge BFI IMAX, which is just around the corner. But then they were having the huge party, of course, in the Tate Modern, and that's where the cast came along and did some interviews with us.
OK, who do you see on the red carpet?
Well, the entire cast was there from last night. So some of these names may not be as familiar to you at this point in time, but they will be very familiar very soon because, let's face it, millions of people are going to go see Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, when it comes out in just 2 days' time. So the main heroine in this is Felicity Jones, who has been Oscar-nominated already. Of course, is in A Theory of Everything with Eddie Redmayne. That's where you'll know her from. And she plays a rebel called Jyn Erso. And we also had Diego Luna, who is kind of part of the rebel fighting group as well. And there's a British actor called Riz Ahmed, who, if you have seen the TV series The Night Of, which has done incredibly well, and he's just been nominated for a Golden Globe Award for that as well. He's in this as another rebel fighter called Bodhi. And the interesting thing about Rogue One is where it sits in the Star Wars universe. If you know nothing about Star Wars, they were all telling me last night, as you'd expect at the premiere, that this is the one that you can start with. And it doesn't matter if you haven't seen anything up to this point. If you do know your Star Wars, then this takes place a few years before the very first Star Wars that came out in the 1970s, Episode 4, A New Hope, takes place. So, and of course, in the late 90s and the early 2000s, we had those prequels that, let's say, weren't quite as beloved by everybody, Episode 1, 2 and 3. So this is basically Star Wars 3.5, if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah, so it's sat just before the original Star Wars, but actually it's nothing like it, is it, David? I think there was it's a bit darker, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be more of a straight up war slash heist film, really. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm very excited about going and seeing it. There were talks of reshoots though to make it slightly less dark.
Really, I can't quite like the idea of a darker Star Wars. Yeah. In all honesty, you mentioned Felicity Jones. She is the one whose face is plastered everywhere, Natalie.
Yeah, and I mean, she's a brilliant actress. And I think that's what is exciting in particular about this Star Wars story as well, is even though you may not know some of the names or some of the faces in this, they are all, in the main, really established actors already. So you've got Forrest Whitaker, who is in this. You've got a guy called Mads Mikkelsen, who, if you saw Casino Royale, he was the baddie in that. And there's an actor called Ben Mendelsohn, too, who plays a baddie in this called Orson Krennic. And I was chatting to Forrest Whitaker about this last night. Don't laugh at the names. It's all very serious. And he was saying when Ben Mendelsohn was on set, if you've been watching the Netflix series Bloodline, he's in that, and he's really good in that too, an Australian actor. He was saying that Ben's character, it almost gives you the chills in a kind of Darth Vader way. And Darth Vader does appear in Rogue One. That's not a spoiler because that was in the trailer. Mm. But there's a lot of evil taking place in this. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where it's pitched that in terms of children.
I love Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
I'd have preferred to meet Forrest Whitaker than any of the rest of the cast. Remember like Phone Booth and Panic Room and all the other things that he was in. He's absolutely brilliant,
great,
isn't he?
Great face.
Oh, yeah. How exciting was the red carpet last night? Was everyone, you know, really sort of anxious to sort of get a glimpse of this movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a strange one because it was happening in this sort of underground Death Star-like bunker. So it wasn't your usual sort of London, Leicester Square. Tens of thousands of people, you know, sometimes turn out for these films and queue for days. So it wasn't quite the same as that because we were inside. But frankly, as an entertainment reporter, it was a pleasure to be inside and not outside in the cold for once. But you mentioned Forrest Whitaker, and he's such a gent. He's despite all those roles that you'll know him from, he's so gentle when you meet him, and he's so kind and he's so friendly, and then you know that he can just turn on whatever character he needs to possess at that time. But I also quite like that last night there was a lot of these people have makeup artists that follow them around. Forrest Whitaker had somebody who would just clean his glasses for him, which
brilliant.
Is quite nice too. Yeah.
That's all he did. Some fellow just cleaned his glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, David, if you could have someone that followed you around doing something, what would they be doing?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Bringing me sandwiches, probably.
Natalie?
Yeah, snacks are always good.
Snacks. Snack woman.
I just want to mention on Star Wars as well, whether you like this or not, there are many, many more films to come. We already knew that there are another three on the way. We've got episode 8 and 9 and then the Han Solo spin-off story as well. But I caught up with the producer, Kathleen Kennedy, last night, who is a legend in this area. She also produced the Indiana Jones films, and she produced E.T., and she's taken on the Lucasfilm mantle now as well. And she told me that they are planning the Star Wars story up until 2022 at least. So we're looking at a film a year until then. And I did kind of say, don't you worry, this is going to dilute the franchise. You know, as a Star Wars fan myself, bit concerned about that. And she's like, we know that. We know that people are concerned about that as well. But as long as we keep doing interesting new things, which is why you might get different new fresh actors in this and different directors you haven't heard of, she's confident that they can keep going.
You didn't ask her about Indiana Jones 5, did you?
You know, I didn't get a chance to. That was like my next question. I was like, and then she got moved on. But yeah, I think that might still happen, you know, because there have been rumblings about that for a while. And you know, with all these things, it's just getting all the jigsaw pieces together in the same time and place. And then hopefully that will happen too.
Natalie, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Natalie Jameson, who was on the red carpet last
exciting
night.
Stuff that.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Mark Quayle and John Dern as well. Morning to you, Derns.
Good morning, Steve.
Morning, John.
Lay off Karius, one of the headlines. All of you must help out, Karius, says Klopp. Jurgen Klopp has called on Liverpool's defence to raise their standards as a collective and take the heat off Loris Karius. We've talked about him a few times, haven't we, Derns? It seems to have intensified over the past week.
Yeah, I mean, it's been highlighted, rightly so. But I think you've got to question Klopp. I think Klopp had to make a decision where he's backed his keeper because he brought him in after the Bournemouth game. But there were signs before that, Steve. And I think you've got to question Klopp putting him in such a must-win game against West Ham and proved that it was a mistake to put him in. And all the criticism of him now is highlighted the fact that the manager kept him in. And as I say, I think that's your first question mark on Klopp, because I told you, I don't think he's good enough. Mignolet didn't deserve to be dropped the way he was. I think he finished the season well, like you said, started it well while he was injured. And there was no reason why to drop him and just bring you the keeper in. So for me, I think your first question mark, you got a question, Klopp, for leaving him in.
What would you do with this situation, Quayle?
It's really difficult now. It's a rock and a hard place. I know John will appreciate when you're a striker and you're not on the side and you're waiting for your chance, and your chance comes because of poor form of another striker, the pressure's on you, and some people thrive on that and you can take advantage. If Liverpool are to make a change now, bring Mignolet back, the pressure is going to be magnified on him, it's going to be amplified to the extent that any mistake, or you know, he may even feel that a little bit himself, although he seems a calm character. Personally, I would leave it as it is for now. That's what I would do. You know, I think he's publicly backed him, and I think he's got to do that. So I think he will do that. That's what I would do at this moment in time. But you couldn't go on forever if the mistakes keep on happening. It's inevitable he'll have to make the change.
I mean, it's quite a critical decision if you leave him in place now, which I think he will, Derns.
I think you've got to leave him in. Sorry, Steve. I think you've got to leave him in now. The fact that but it's the position where it's highlighting, because he's made mistakes now. In the last few games, everything's going to be under spotlight. It's going to be banged straight on him tonight. And that's not going to help him. And like you said, though, I'd personally take him out for the simple fact it's just because of that reason. It's going to be, the spotlight's going to be on him. And any little mistake tonight, you should have dropped him last week. You should have dropped him the week before. So it's a catch-22 situation. But again, that's why the managers are paid so much money to make them decisions. Mm.
Has Liverpool's defending improved, Derns, do you think? I know Klopp says it has, but do you think it has?
No, not at all. I think we lack... And again, someone highlighted the fact is the keeper's under pressure because the defence are putting him in under pressure. I wouldn't personally, I wouldn't like to be in goal with our defence, especially when we've got free kicks, corners coming in, because we look like we're going to concede all the time. I mean, you see it time and time again. Our defending is woeful. You've seen it at Bournemouth. It's just highlighted. Our defence, no, I don't think it's improved. But the fact is we're scoring so many goals, it's getting us out of tricky situations.
As an Everton fan, is this a good time to be playing Liverpool next Monday, do you think?
Well, I had this conversation with another Liverpoolian friend of mine yesterday before Everton played Arsenal. And I sort of said, it takes me back that I don't think over the recent years Everton have been a bit closer to Liverpool when it's come to the derby. Sometimes the derbies have been a hindrance for Everton over the last 5-10 years. Everton have been in good form, playing well, and they didn't need a derby coming up on the horizon. Before last night, I felt like it would be a good time because, you know, Liverpool are off the boil a little bit. It's at Goodison, and Everton have nothing to lose. So I was hoping for this, that sort of 90s spirit of, you know, real favour, aggression and commitment, which is actually what they showed last night against Arsenal. So I'm still on that sort of page where I think it is a good time at this moment for Everton because they're kind of so far away from Liverpool points-wise and form-wise to a degree, although last night changed it a bit, that yes, you know, I think there'll be a lot more of, come on, let's have a right good go. Because I think over the last few years, Everton have tried to play unemotionally. There's been a lot more football and it's been to the detriment, as the results will show you. So I'm looking forward to it a little bit now, although on the day I won't be able to eat.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.